It was three Sundays ago that I had the privilege of telling the story of Augustine to those who were then present. And I ended the story at the point when Augustine was converted to Christ when he was 32 years old. Many of you will remember that he broke the heart of his prayerful mother, Monica, by committing almost every sin in the book. And what most greatly upset her was the fact that he had fathered a child outside marriage and then openly lived with the girl until it was convenient to be rid of her. Augustine's mistresses were all badly treated. They were used and dumped. And then came the glorious moment in his life when Christ took over. He was in a garden in Milan, in Italy. He'd already been disturbed by the preaching of Ambrose, and he was in tears, and he picked up a scroll of Paul's letter to the Romans, and he read chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, and every word was like an arrow going into his evil heart. And it was at that point he was saved by the grace of God, and Monica, who had prayed for 32 years, rejoiced that there was such a thing as answered prayer. And some of you have said quite rightly, well, what did he do after he was 32 then? Well, he lived till he was 76. And he died in the year 430. And every moment of that time was packed with service for Christ. And for us, in spite of some of his mistakes, he will always be one of the greatest Christians of all time. He was certainly an intellectual giant, the writer of 70 books. He was a very persuasive evangelistic preacher. And supremely, he was the champion of free grace. So although he was active for Christ in far too many ways to detail in my short 10 minutes tonight, I'm going to put the searchlight on Augustine as the champion of free sovereign grace. You see, at one time in Augustine's life, there came a British preacher called Pelagius. He was probably an Irishman who'd settled in England and then travelled on the continent. This man Pelagius was going round teaching things which Augustine thought would cut at the heart of the gospel. What were those things? Well, two things particularly Pelagius said caused Augustine considerable bother. One was this. Pelagius said that all people born are born innocent, as innocent as Adam was before the fall of man into sin. And secondly, Pelagius said that nobody is ever enslaved by sin, because everybody has complete free will. So everybody in the world is free from sin, and we only do bad things when we use this pure free will to choose to go and do wrong things. So when Pelagius did talk about the grace of God, he meant external influences, such as the example of Jesus as an example. Now when Augustine heard about Pelagius going round teaching this in Rome, he started to recall how he himself had been totally gripped and enslaved by sin, even when he knew in his own heart what was right and what was true. He also knew that he had had no power inside himself to choose the right way to go. So Pelagius's teaching fitted neither Augustine's experience, nor did it fit with Augustine's reading of the Bible. It wasn't until God's grace had set Augustine free that he realized that everybody's so-called free will is in fact influenced and indeed totally enslaved by inward sin. So the awful truth then is that there is no such thing as completely free will in its purity at all. So don't you believe in it like that. Augustine became, I say, the champion of grace alone. Grace alone means this: only God, by his mercy, can save us. Salvation is of the Lord, to quote another passage. Now remember, Augustine was a very clever and a very thorough man. He wrote 1,400 pages on this subject of grace against Pelagius. So he went into it pretty thoroughly. You see, some people were going round saying that God's grace, his unmerited mercy, never becomes effective unless or until we use our free will or our faith to cooperate with God. Now, all those centuries ago, Augustine realized that that was a more dangerous error and more dangerous to the Christian gospel than what Pelagius had said originally. Why should that be? Because it denies the sovereignty of God's grace. That teaching about cooperating with God to make God's grace effective is known as semi-Pelagianism. Now, we all know that we don't go around using words like that today, but it really means that God needs our help in order to make his grace effective. And if you believe that, you're a semi-Pelagian, or you might even be a Pelagian. The Bible insists that sovereign grace alone makes us willing to trust Christ as our Saviour. So the real truth is this: the only thing anybody can ever give to God to contribute to their salvation is their sin. Nothing else. We're saved by grace alone. And that's what Augustine championed. In the last year of his life, 50,000 barbarians landed on the North African coast, and some of them laid siege to the town where he was living. It was called Hippo. After 3 months' siege, he fell ill, and he got a fever, and he said to his friends, "Would you please write out 7 penitential psalms for me and have them in big letters so that I can see them from my sick bed?" And so the 7 penitential psalms, 6, 32, 38, 51, and so on, were all written out so that he could see them and meditate on them as he lay there dying. Somebody said, "Time to make a will." He said, "No need for me to make a will, because I don't own anything." And he was right. He had long since made certain that he owned nothing. Christ took him to glory on August the 28th, 430. Now, if there is one lesson only that we should all remember from Augustine, you couldn't put it better than this, taken out of Ephesians chapter 2. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast."